Welcome back to the Average to Savage Show with Scaletti, a podcast that will help you overcome your limiting beliefs, setbacks, and fears to create the life you were destined to live.
Welcome back to the Average to Savage podcast. Matt Scaletti here with very special guest, Anna DeFrank. She is an entrepreneur who has been in real estate over 11 years. She is licensed in Pennsylvania, running a team of 10, Ohio, Florida, and California. Anna spends her time running her flipping business and looking for real estate deals to buy and hold. She is now pursuing a pilot certification in aviation as well. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to get into a lot of different things. Kind of want to start with the pilot thing, but maybe we'll start with your background first and get to the pilot
whatever you
experience.
Want.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about upbringing? Have you always been this driven and motivated? What was Anna like as a child?
Yes. So basically, I've been the same person my entire life, just smaller.
Smaller before?
Yes. I grew up in, I guess, a Rust Belt city, had bigger dreams, and knew the only way I could get there was on me. So I had to figure out what I wanted and then figured out how to get there. So I got lucky in both. I got really lucky.
Did you know what you wanted at an early age?
No. I remember being young and being programmed like, oh, be a doctor.
Oh, you got that growing up?
Oh, yeah. Because I was the first one in my immediate family to go to college. So they knew that I was, or graduate, because my dad did go to college, but he didn't graduate. So it was drilled into my head that I had to get higher education because we were taught that was our ticket to success, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I was, aiming for. But I knew that even at a young age when kids were like playing with Barbies, I obviously played with Barbies, but my Barbies had a business. They were always entrepreneurial. So I was, in a sense, reflecting what grown-up version of me wanted to do. So if it was Barbies, I was selling the dresses. You know what I mean? It was something of that nature. So eventually went to college, graduated from Pitt, did not want to pursue academia further in the sense of biology, because that's the degree I have, is a biology degree.
I would have not guessed that.
Yeah.
Biology. Got it.
It's cool to like know trivial things or know the basis to explore more trivial things that I can't apply today because biology research ages like milk. So I graduated from college, got a bartending job, met the owner of a real estate brokerage in town at the bar, became his assistant and kind of just worked from that. I learned the systems and processes to sell real estate. And then from there, it was a tangent effect. It exploded. And I was like, wait, I could be buying real estate. Wait, I could be selling not only owner-occupant real estate, I could be selling buildings. And just from there, it was a creativity inspiration. And then I've been at it ever since.
All right, let me ask you, when you're in the bar and you meet this guy and he talks about real estate,
yeah.
Did you know, was real estate a lane you wanted to get into?
I had no clue.
I didn't know
what the hell real estate was.
I wouldn't either.
When I thought of real estate in my mind, you know how you say words and like pictures come in your mind?
Yeah.
I thought of a cartoon house, like the emoji. Real estate. I don't know what that is. I didn't realize there was contracts and I didn't understand what contracts were and who was involved. And I learned really quickly because I literally learned by baptism by fire.
Oh, me too.
Baptism by fire was my experience because no one was really hand-holding me. I was 21 and I'd never done anything adult in my life, in terms of like, I never put a utility bill in my name. I was pretty much sheltered from mundane things that adults do.
Yeah.
So when I was trying to organize contracts, I mean, I couldn't even have the perception of what needed to go into it in terms of nuance. So that's why I learned. It's because you get embarrassed when mistakes happen. So I was like, I'm never going to make that mistake twice.
That's a smart move. So
yeah.
I assume did you have some moments that were, I don't want to say embarrassing, but difficult in the learning curve?
All the time.
I would think, me too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're learning, you're going to, I mean, I don't get embarrassed anymore. I'm just like, I accept it and I move on. You know, I don't, you get desensitized from being embarrassed. You're like, I don't care. I guess what is shame? What is embarrassment? I guess it's caring what other people think.
Yeah.
I quit doing that half a decade ago and it really just helps your life after that because.
Okay. Can I stop you for a
second? Yeah.
Can you tell us, I feel like this could be an entire episode in
yeah.
itself, how, that was the first thing when we met
yeah.
And I admired so much about you. I'm like, she doesn't really care.
No.
And it's so refreshing. So for anybody, including myself, who sometimes struggles with it, mm-hmm. is there a blueprint or tip or idea you could give us for anyone listening, watching, going, I care way too much about what other people think.
It's really, and I work on this every day because we are not the same person we are when we wake up and when we go to sleep, and we're with ourselves. At least I have an inner monologue. I'm talking to myself every day.
Yeah.
I have emotions. I have feelings, and they will, sometimes I will care. I'll pretend. I'm very regimented, and I know how to default and pretend I don't care. And then later on in the evening when I'm about to go to sleep and everything replays, then I'm like, okay, let's iron this knot out because I know that I care, but why shouldn't I? Why do I care? Let me, you know, it's very introspective. It's very reflective. So does this benefit me to care? No. In terms of if I want to go out on a limb and try to succeed at something different, there's a lot of anxiety that comes with that because of judgment. If you're mm-hmm. trying to get better at anything, people will judge you. I do it myself.
Yes, they
so
will.
I think that other people are doing it to me, which is fine. I welcome it because no press is bad press. And in this day and age, no attention is bad attention necessarily.
True.
If you're in sales.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an instance. So last week we were filming for a potential real estate show. It's about me because I do real estate in 4 states and I do lending in 1 state and I'm an investor, whatever. So we're filming my life and it's 100 miles per hour all day. So we start at the airport where I take my lessons, go to the gym, get my training in, leave, go to appointments and do my business. And it's like, how does she have all this time? Well, there was a lot of some snickering and some people at the gym that were like, wow, we didn't know TMZ was coming today. And I'm like,
oh, they're following you around.
Yeah. So I took that home and I'm like, oh God, like how embarrassing. They think I think I'm something. I'm not. Oh. And then I was sitting, I was like, that camera's not for them. I'm not filming for them. I'm filming for an investor that I would never have the opportunity to run into because of geography. That's who I'm filming for.
Yeah.
So then that got rid of that anxiety where I was like, oh, I don't want to do this again. Now I don't care.
Yeah.
You'll see TMZ there Wednesday, Friday, 9 a.m. yeah, or whatever.
But it seems like you're doing the work introspectively.
It's inner work. Yeah.
Inner work. Mm-hmm. And you're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, just because we're talking about it, and I know we both do social media.
Yeah.
And I know this is a big deal for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Who post something, or maybe they don't because they're worried about the backlash or that one comment from somebody they don't even know that says something negative. How do you handle if you get any negativity in the social media world?
Okay, everything's a progress, right? We're working on ourselves every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If I get a negative comment, I will block you. Just
boom, they're gone and out of Anna's life.
Well, that is progress from me arguing with you.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Because the back and forth, it never goes anywhere.
Because it gets worse. Like I used to argue with people where I would, and then it becomes a personal attack. And I'm really good at words. So
yes, she is. And
instead of creating enemies, I just create, you just get rid of the people who want to be negative. I don't have time. If you're going to comment on my social media, it's so weird. It's goofy. I don't leave negative comments. You don't see like world-class athletes or people like performing at a high level leaving negative comments. Like what is it? When did it become not cool to try new things? When did it become not cool to just be yourself? Who cares? You want to be weird and goofy on the internet? I don't give a shit. I'm not even focusing on you.
No, yeah. That's right. You got too much going on.
I'm not. I'm focusing on me.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want to be a hater, then I can't relate.
I love that. That's a great answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're talking about the real estate. You get into it after you're 21, 22 years old.
That's when I entered, yeah.
That's when you entered.
And as an agent. I was a baby green real estate agent.
Were you hungry from
starving,
the beginning?
Yes, because I wanted money. I mean, let's not be shy here. I was money motivated. I wanted a better life. And the only way to do that in my circumstance was to get more money. And I saw how much money Jeff was making. I was like, I want that to be me.
Oh, you got me thinking so many different ways now. So do you... I'm assuming you were doing better and better money-wise, financially, as the years went on.
Yeah.
Do you think there is, and maybe just using yourself as an example, is there a correlation between money, happiness? How do you feel about that?
Well, we can quantify a certain type of success with money because it's numbers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't really quantify success unless you're happy with the numbers because... numbers are infinite, so you could be chasing and be miserable the whole time, or you can reach a certain number. You don't have to end, but you have to be. You can be like, oh, it's a little bit, you know, more cushion now, or I'm a little bit more at peace. I'm not worrying about, you know, paying for my existence, because to just exist in America right now, it is very expensive, and that's like the bare minimum.
Right.
So, yeah, I hate to say, you know, money equals happiness. It's more money can bring a peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, then that's it's very complex because we're very complex. Also, at the same time, you can't let it corrupt you and have you sell yourself out to change that number, because then you're miserable.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to make sure that's understood as well.
No, that's really well said.
Yeah.
And as far as, so you partially money motivated, for those that are not motivated at all or just struggle with motivation, do you have any thoughts for those people? And it could be in business.
Yeah.
It could be in any area.
I do have thoughts about that. To me, if you're unmotivated, that is a symptom of something that you need to fix. How can you not be inspired to do something? How can you be unmotivated in your life? Like, if you're happy, you're not just sitting around on the couch, like, doing nothing.
Probably not.
I've been happy and I've been depressed. And when I'm depressed, I sit on the couch and do nothing.
That's exactly how I was.
Yeah. When I'm happy, I'm like, I got to share this happiness with someone, or I got to go make more happiness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I was depressed doing nothing on the couch, I know it's a symptom of something that I'm, of a choice that I'm making that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So what was the question?
No, we're just talking about...
That was my thought.
No, that's a great thought.
Thought ended.
Motivate. No, we're just talking about how to stay motivated.
Yeah, so... So how do you stay motivated?
Yeah.
Well, you have to, they say, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out, where do you want to end up? And I don't care how crazy your goal is. Like, it can happen. It's like, the world is a stage. So Shakespeare said that. All the world's a stage. So we're in a play. You're writing the script.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds insane. But then about a half decade ago is when I started realizing, oh, I could really create my life and curate it to be any way that I want. If I want to go summer in California, I can.
Yes,
if I want to go to Europe right now, guess what? Guess who's going? But I worked meticulously and I knew that's what I wanted. It's not that I just thought this up last night.
Yeah.
It was because I was very determined to have freedom with my time and freedom to do what I wanted. So that's what I created the 11 years I've been working.
Yeah. As you're talking about that, you had this vision that is clearly coming to reality. I just wonder if some people are nervous to think that big because they may fail.
It's called imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? They're not scared to think that big because we can all have an imagination. I can imagine I'm riding on a unicorn right now. But we're scared to think that we deserve it.
Yeah.
And that is what I also struggled with even up till a year ago. Where I was like, oh, I'm doing well. Do I even deserve this? There's people, you know, over in the Middle East who don't even have shelter right now. And I'm like, why do I think I deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still a little bit of a mind F.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, so what I try to do is I try to help in terms of empowerment, like with people on my team or whoever like essentially has a relationship with me and will ask for help, because people will also ask for help and be an energy vampire. So you have to be very careful who you donate your energy to.
Yes, you do.
But also in terms of, I got involved. My mom works at an elementary school. I got involved and they needed some items for kids there. So I donated there, and that's fulfilling. And now I want to be on the board there that can figure out how to recruit other people to donate. And that's fulfilling. Okay, I can't help the world. So to help maybe put this anxiety at bay where I feel in like an imposter and a little old me, I'm not Amazon. You know what I mean? Who can actually make waves in the world, you know, the world, the way the world works. I'm just a little girl in Pittsburgh.
A badass little girl in
Pittsburgh who has these convictions. I do my parts, and I think everyone should think that way. If you can help a little bit, help a little bit.
Yeah.
That's it. But if your dreams are big, believe that you deserve it, and then you will figure out a way to get it.
Well said. We're dropping bombs on this podcast. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
You got me all juiced up.
Let's go.
All right. So you're talking about, and you just threw this in here about who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Because that's a topic I think about all the time. How do you, and I'm assuming you probably think about this too, how do you manage who you are around, and do you think about that a lot? Are you careful of who you allow into your life, and maybe even get into if there's somebody that has been in your life that's maybe too close and you're feeling some of that negative energy? How do you create boundaries, if at all, if you do that?
I'm going through that right now. So you have to learn how to create boundaries in a diplomatic way. If it's somebody who hasn't necessarily hurt you, but you know their energy has shifted, That's different than someone being malicious towards you. And then you're like, get out of my life.
Agreed.
You know, some people can start to harbor jealousy. Some people, and it's apparent because we're intuitive beings, right? You can hear my words, but I can also feel how you're saying it, you know?
Yeah.
So I've had people in my life where they used to be very close to me and then their energy shifted, and it's just time to put them on ice. It's like, okay, you're going to be...
put them on ice.
You can always come back around. You can always, when you heal your inner self, you can always come back into my inner circle. I have several circles. Some are inner, some are outer.
Yeah.
But if you hurt my feelings, I'm going to tell you, and then you're going to be put on ice. Like, until I heal from that, you know?
Yeah.
But you have to be very... you have to protect yourself. Like, I am very comfortable with, if something's making me uncomfortable, to tell you that. Some people are not. Some people are very backward. Some people are very people-pleasing.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And it damages your, I don't know, your energy. It just doesn't behoove you. It's just not advantageous. Like, you have to protect yourself. If you're in this play and you're trying to achieve your dreams, you don't have time to pacify people because they're not happy for you. And you will mourn. I have grieved having to put some of my closest friendships on ice. I call it on ice, but it's just like, I got to push you out a little bit until I can heal from how you hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And we talk about it. And then if you want to make an effort to apologize, or we can communicate and you make that effort, then we can come back. We can also always circle back. But I mean, if you're malicious, you're blocked.
Easy. Yeah. You're gone.
Yeah.
It seems like you do a really good job of being able to have difficult conversations with, whether it's personal relationship, business relationship, family.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I try to over communicate. You can never not, or like, it's not bad to over communicate. A lot of my younger friends or people that I mentor, they're so scared. What if I make them mad? Are they making you mad?
Yeah.
They're not afraid to make you mad. So talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, what are they gonna do? Punch you in the face? No. What are we scared of here?
You're right.
Getting a little bit embarrassed? Oh, wait, we don't care about that anymore.
No, we don't care about that.
Yeah.
That's like the name of this podcast episode. Something about we don't get embarrassed. I like that. We don't get embarrassed.
No.
All right, let's talk more about, we started getting into the real estate space. So you've been in for 11 years.
Yeah.
And are you just fully in love and passionate about this business? And where do you see it in the future?
It's like my identity. So it's all I know at this point of my life. I can't imagine not doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so habitual. It's just like, it's fun because it is creative on a deal-making perspective.
Yeah.
Like today I partnered with a wholesaler and we're making, you know, we're doing the math, we're figuring out this deal. And every property is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we got this, you know, this is like our potential profit we could make. This is my investor who's going to buy it and flip it. This is his potential profit he's going to make. Everyone's going to win. Then I'll relist it and sell it. Like, it's fun. Like, it's just like, okay, and then I can, you know, I can tee up the buyer. And if I find the buyer, then I'm going to sell the buyer's house. And then I got to find the buyer's house buyer. You know, it's just it's just like over and over. I mean, yeah. And then it can be very, very stressful if you have, you know, an obstacle come up. But I've had so many that have thrown me off the edge that whatever you throw at me, I think I could handle it at this point.
All right, wait a minute. We got to get into that because I wanted to ask you about that anyways. Can you talk about an obstacle? And it could be in the business world since we're talking about that. But mm-hmm. if you think of something else, share that as well.
Yeah.
What's one of the bigger obstacles you have had to overcome in any area?
Well, first you got to get right with yourself. That's the biggest thing. But in terms of real estate.
Yeah, but that's a great answer. Did you just say your biggest obstacle is yourself?
Yeah, you got to get right with yourself.
You're right. Yeah.
You have to nurture this thing, like, you know, your meat vehicle and your brain. That's, you know.
I don't know why I think that's so funny.
Yeah, but it's true.
Your meat vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be healthy.
Yeah.
If I wasn't healthy physically, I would not be able to endure the stresses or endure the ambition that my brain gives me. My brain gives me the stress and the ambition. If I'm not physically in shape, guess what? I'm going down. Might as well just quit.
Mic drop. Oh, I totally agree. Have you ever not been in shape?
I mean, I've been skinny, but then I started doing CrossFit and like lifting, and then I've always been in shape.
So you
I've never had an era where it was like a huge, you know, change. No.
Yeah. But the discipline is
there. That's new. That's new. Yes. I was not disciplined when I was 21 at all.
All right. Tell us more about that. So you got more discipline in what areas when you say now you're disciplined?
Yeah.
Why is that versus when you were in your early 20s?
Because when you're in your early 20s, you think you're invincible and you have a million years to live.
Very true.
Yes.
I went through that for a while.
Yeah. Like you just party. You run your body ragged. I mean, drinking, not sleeping, just chasing the moment. And then when you hit like 25, at least for me, it was like, okay, 30's approaching. And 30-year-olds look old to me. So I don't want to be an old-looking 30-year-old. I remember thinking that. And I'm like, oh, I'm like starting to pay attention to nutrition. Mm. Oh, alcohol ages you. Oh, so maybe it was a vain ambition or a vain motivator, but it eventually affected me to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I remember going to the gym for the first time with my friend, and she was like a trainer. She was like a badass female, and I'm trying to keep up with her, and I'm like, you know, hungover 3 times a week.
I have
hypoglycemia, so I need like a balanced sugar in my blood or I'm going to pass out. And I'm like, I remember we did like one machine, and I'm like, listen, I got to eat a candy bar or something. Like, I can't. Listen, it was insane, right?
Did you eat the candy bar?
Yeah, I was like, I gotta get out of here. I ate a Reese's. I was like, what am I doing? Like, what do I care? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I started looking into like protein, like wanting to build muscle, like lean muscle, and wanting to get stronger. And then you get addicted, right?
Oh yeah.
Then you get addicted to working out, and then you can't moderate that. So then you get injured. Then I went through all of that.
I've done that.
So I'm still learning. You know, I was at CrossFit, and everyone's like, CrossFit has a stigma of like being this crazy like community anyway, but mine's actually very sweet that I belong to. But you get in that mindset that I have to be the strong, I have to be like a He-Man. So I'm sitting trying to deadlift. Wait, I shouldn't be trying to deadlift.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I got it. It's like ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I got it. I don't care. I'm doing this for me. And then you injure your lower back. And then guess what? You can't work out for a couple weeks because of your ego.
And that sucks.
And then you get all fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Because your therapy, which is your gym, is gone.
Yep.
And you're like, I'm losing my mind. But that's life. It's ups and downs.
But it seems like that is an anchor of yours, is keeping your body, your health in order. Because I think, and it sounds like you're saying this too, Anna, that has a direct reflection of how well you do in business and how confident you feel.
Yeah, and it speaks before you speak. So if I meet somebody and I look like I'm barely making it up the stairs, they'll be like, this chick don't got her life together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I show up and I look like I could outrun you, you know, you're going to be like, all right, she must know what's going on.
You're trying to say you can outrun me? Is that what you say?
Absolutely not. I don't even run. But if I look like I can. So,
you do. You look like you
could. I'm saying like to a client is what I'm saying. So I mean, it's natural. If you're not in shape, I'm all about body positivity, but if you don't look in shape, I don't think you got your life together. I truly don't. And I shouldn't be ashamed to say that. We should all care about how our bodies are and our health. That's a fair statement.
Yeah. I mean, I was 60 pounds overweight. And
yeah.
I think it was that moment where I realized that it was, that's when the shift could begin.
Yeah.
I'd realize I was out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you make a good point.
It's like we all get one body. How dare you?
I know.
How dare you? If you can walk and you can run, how dare you not use it?
Yeah.
Because one day, guess what? You're not going to be able to.
You're right. Hopefully that day won't come for a long time.
Of course, but right. I'm going to squeeze every moment I can.
Me too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so tell us about, we're talking about this show that you have, that you're recording. And I want to, why are you laughing like that?
Because it's just so, I'm still getting over the judgment thing with that topic.
Well, to me, it's positive judgment. It's like, that's awesome. You got a camera crew rolling around and seeing how you're living your life. By the way, for those listening or watching, Anna said that, I think before we're recording that, your life isn't like overly exciting or something, and it's like insanely exciting.
Well, it's just I'm used to it. I'm numb to it.
Oh, that's fair.
Okay. You know, it's only
on the outside looking in. It's like you're doing all these different things.
Yeah.
So you're recording the show, and like, what kind of things are they recording? And have you, is it done? Like, are you done recording?
No. So we did our dry run just to see like what angles I like and how we should format. It's with a producer. He's helping me create the storyline. And we're going to fly to California and watch how I do my business out there. And then we're going to fly to Florida and see how I do my business there, Ohio. And it just have, and he's trying to see if a network will pick it up. And if a network doesn't, then we'll just sell it locally and get our investment back. So
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exciting though. I mean, you got a ton of stuff going on.
Yeah. Cause I have nothing else to do. Honestly.
But you.
Yeah.
You love it though, don't you?
I think I would have. Yeah, I guess I'm not ashamed to say it. I do. I love my life. It's really an adventure. Like today, I was talking to one of my friends, and we're making plans to go to London because she's speaking at Oxford, and I get to accompany her with that. So proud of her. And then she's like, "Well, should we go to Iceland since we're over there?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, we should."
Like, it's a great idea.
Yeah. So it's like, how lucky am I to even like that could be a thing.
You're right.
You know, but that's what I wanted. That's what I worked towards. I remember you could ask my friends I used to hang out with years ago. I would leave the bar to go sell two houses and come back. So that's what I would do. I was always working. It was just like I knew like in 10 years, like I want to chill out a little bit and I want to elevate the way I live.
Yeah.
So.
And you keep saying adventure, and that's what it seems like. We grabbed coffee a few weeks ago, and I remember thinking to myself, like, Anna just, she'll go on an adventure, like, boom. Like, let's go have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how you have the grind part, and then you also let loose and have some fun. And I want to ask you about that, too. How do you manage, because I struggle with this also, as I know I'm sure some listeners do.
Yeah.
The hard work with letting yourself go to London for 4 or 5 days and not worry about, oh, but I could be working right now. Like, do you have...
Oh, worry. I never stop working. Whenever I leave, I'm still working.
Well, that's fair.
I don't tell people I leave.
So some people...
That's number one, because I made that mistake. When I started going on vacation when I was very early in my career, it would piss people off that I was gone. So I just made it look like I was everywhere. Literally. Social media. I have a virtual assistant.
Oh, yeah.
I have a team.
Yeah.
So... I didn't know how to delegate or shield my clients as much from drama in the real estate transactions as much as I do now. So they don't know when I leave. They don't need to know when I leave. As long as everything's handled and I'm responsive.
Yeah.
I could be anywhere. Yeah, really.
I mean, no, but that's, I'm just smiling.
I went to Hawaii.
Awesome.
Yeah. I went to Hawaii and went to Maui in May, and I was taking Zoom calls 4 a.m. Maui time.
Oh, wow.
Nobody needed to know where I was.
Yeah.
And then I'd take my little nap. Everybody would wake up. We'd have our day. My phone's on me, you know, 24/7. It's not, I let that worry go because I couldn't enjoy my day anymore. Honestly, it was at first a stress. I remember going to like Vegas and just being like, oh, I wasn't enjoying my time.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out and create a way where I could do both.
You can be everywhere at once. We might have to, that's like a whole discussion.
I could be sleeping. Nobody knows.
All right, so another thing you have going on, which I don't know much about, but I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
There is, you have, I believe, a real estate course coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Can you tell us about it? Look at you, like, you lighten up. You're excited about this.
Okay, so these projects, I mean, most people are gonna be like, who does this chick think she is? I mean, I don't know. Other people have faith in me, so I'm like, all right, I'll go along with
but
it.
Remember, we don't care what other people think.
Right, right, but I'm just prefacing that because those are the two newest things that I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And
it's tough.
Yeah, we worked really hard on it. We've been working on it for probably like 3 to 4 months, like just creating, because I have a lot of clients who are foreign, so it'll be dubbed in different languages.
Oh, that's cool.
And I just want to create my own intimate, what do you call it, group or community?
Yeah.
Where we can all just talk, because there's so many people that want to hit me up and pick my brain for an hour, and I don't have that time. Or that energy sometimes. So if we're in a community, we can schedule calls. You know, there's my course that can kind of give you some ideas on how to maybe figure out the answer without calling me. Not saying I don't want calls, but there's only so many hours in the day. And right. I make sure that I have at least one day a week where I don't do real estate, because I have also experienced burnout mentally. And it's dark. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to burn out. Even in, you can't, like, the grind 24/7 culture, you know, is funny, but it is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because if you, I'm not sitting in an office, like, twiddling my thumbs. I'm grinding. Like, I am mentally high, and I'm on, and I've done it for extended periods of time. And guess what? You will burn out. That's not a way to live either. Yeah. You know, so going back to the course is why I wanted to create the community where everyone could be served in an appropriate amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is for real estate
agents
or anyone?
Both. I wanted to make sure it was geared towards agents and investors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be somebody that's just thinking, I've always wanted to invest in real estate.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how I get started.
Ideally, that would be who who would buy it. And then we could become, it's a subscription based. And then, within the community, just branches off. I know so many people. I just wanted to collect. It's almost like a virtual, like, Rolodex. I want to put my whole community into my group, and then we can chat, and then I can vet you, because some people are really fake.
Yeah.
In the real estate space, and they charge a shit ton of money. Sorry, can't swear.
No, but you can say that.
A crap ton of money. And if I give them my approval, then they can trust, because my word is all I have, right? My reputation is all I have, and it supersedes me. If I can give them my stamp of approval, then they'll be in my group.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah.
And that, do we know the name of the course or when it's coming out yet?
No, that's a good question. We tossed around the name, like, Anabolic for my show.
Anabolic?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Anabolic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So that was my old Twitter handle. Yeah.
I'll never, like, that's memorable, too.
Yeah, well, like, anabolic. You think of steroids, and I think of growth. Anabolic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I kind of like that vibe.
Okay,
a lot.
I like that reaction.
No, that was
natural. You never heard that
before. No, I never heard that. That was
so
the first time.
Okay, maybe that's what
I mean. It perked my ears up. Like,
okay.
I feel like I would hear that, and I don't know how it would be spelled, but.
Like, there's two N's.
Yeah, I mean, I would go, what is this about?
Yeah.
I like that name.
Yeah.
It's catchy. Okay. Yeah.
That's good feedback.
Yeah, there you go. You got my real natural reaction.
Good. Okay, yeah. Noted.
Okay, so let me ask you, switching gears a little bit, what you've been most grateful for in, and again, it can be business, it could be life, it could be...
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
What am I most grateful for? Probably my I don't know. Oh, that's, you can't say the wrong thing. There's so many things I'm grateful for.
There's no wrong thing.
Just my, who I was, my soul, whoever I was dropped into, the situation Anna's in, that's what I'm grateful for. The life I was given.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No, I love that.
Yeah, because I was like the artist who molded it.
I was just going to say, because when you said the life I was given, I was thinking, I mean, obviously,
it encompasses everything.
But you see, like, you seem like you go after whatever it is that you want.
Maybe it was like the awareness or the openness to be aware.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just to cover it all, because I don't want to say one thing's better than the other without. No. I would have to think about this for years. I don't know. It's my life, and I was able to be aware that, oh, the clock's ticking. Like, might as well. Use it however you can. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about, like, not to talk about death, but I mean, we know how it's
inevitable.
End. Like, the clock is absolutely ticking.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're doing things, and I think we got time. I can ask you this because I want to hear about the pilot
yeah,
certification if you're open to it.
Absolutely.
When we oh, met, I love it. This came up, so I don't know how we started chatting about it, but I was fascinated by it because I took one, I guess, lesson of flying, and I haven't gone back, but I want to. Mm-hmm. And seeing your, just hearing a little bit about the story inspires me. And I'm thinking, maybe I need to get back into this. So yeah. Can you just share, how did it even start that you decided, you know what, it'd be kind of cool to fly a plane?
Okay, TSA.
TSA?
Terrible.
Wait, what do you mean?
TSA, when you go to the airport?
Yeah.
They are terrible.
Oh, that's what made you want to fly a plane?
Delays on American Airlines and United. Fly. United stranding me in Houston? Yeah, I could bring that up. I have receipts for that.
Wait, so we now cannot get United as a sponsor? Son of a
they
gun.
They don't care. They don't care about us.
That's true. Maybe they don't.
Okay, so it's always been in my brain, I guess, that I've wanted to do things that challenge me. And yes, it does seem I love way. Flying and I love traveling, but time is the only thing we can't make more of.
Right.
So if I can create ways to do more things in less time, flying is definitely one of those things.
Oh, that's the motivation, is you actually want to be flying
yeah.
to places yes. because that's quicker than driving or going through a commercial.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know that was the motivation.
Yeah. So, and just
that's pretty badass.
Yeah, like having that freedom. So I'm from Newcastle, which is a little town.
I know Newcastle.
Yeah, we have an airport.
I did not know that.
We have a private airport. So I drove myself up there. This is what happens. I get an idea in my brain, and if it repeats itself over the course of a couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, I'm meant to do that.
I love that.
So there's a couple of things that I've been thinking about. Cause I'm like, oh, is the pilot school like a fleeting thought? I just like, I don't know for sure. So excuse me. I reached out to the airport in 2020 because I had a lot of time to sit around,
yes,
you know,
didn't we all? Yeah.
And we didn't have flights.
You're right.
And they sent me, you know, my little information pamphlet or whatever, but timing is perfect. And I'll tell you why. So it was like 2 or 3 months ago. I'm sitting there. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to go to the airport and I'm going to start flying. I can do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm like, because if I keep thinking about it, it's never going to get done. I'm sick of thinking about
Agreed.
It.
Yeah.
So if I can do it, I'm like, what's stopping me? So I just pull up and this chick, flight instructor just started. She was coming from a different airport. She just started. Guess what? All dudes there except this chick. And I'm like, a chick? A chick's going to teach me? Because it's like a very small space. I'm like, I'm going to be some random dude in this, like, you know, up 4,000 feet. Like, I don't really want to be next to a dude, you know, because it's small. It's like smaller than a car. You know what I mean? Like,
so that's, you wanted to be with the chick.
Oh, I was so happy. I'm like, another female? Like, this is great. Like, no, nothing against dudes. I love dudes. But it's just like,
sorry, dudes. That's painful. Okay,
no, continue. It was just like, the pressure was off. You know, to be close to somebody that was a dude. Like, and for women, that can be very uncomfortable.
That makes sense.
And it's someone that can relate to me in terms of, like, a field dominated by men, which is usually finance and investments are.
Yeah.
So we clicked right away. Shout out to Joss. And we've just been buddies. And she's just been, you know, we text each other all the time. It's nothing weird. It's nothing confusing, which sometimes it can get with men. And I was like, the timing was perfect. And we just... I was like, this is going to be great.
So how often do you go up?
4 times a week.
You go up 4 times? You get 4 flights per week?
Weather pending, yes. Okay. I'm scheduled in perpetuity until I get my license 4 times a week.
Okay, let me ask you this. This is the first time I went up. Mm-hmm. The guy, I can't remember his first name, but I didn't know what to expect. We were up there for 20, 30 minutes, whatever it was. And he gave me the controls for... Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. Yeah.
I thought he was joking at first, and now he's like, okay, no. So now I have our lives kind of in my hands, and I'm getting a little nervous, but it was exhilarating.
Oh, yeah.
So what have you learned?
That you really weren't in control at all.
I wasn't in control at all. No, I probably was not in control at all.
It was the perception that you were doing something that made you want to chase it more.
That's exactly
what
That's
the whole point. Yeah. That was the whole point of the flight. They all do it.
So what have you learned about Anna during flying lessons? Is there anything that has come up?
Yeah. So it's a discipline. So I am seeing this all the way through, and I still got it. I still got the discipline.
Yeah.
You got to do what you say, accountability, and also overcoming fear. So when you're flying a plane, how do I explain it? So when you're driving a car, there's only one thing you have to really gauge, and that's speed.
Fair.
That's ground speed, mm-hmm. right? When you're in a plane, and I'm training in a basic plane, okay? I'm in a propeller.
Yeah.
Okay? I have any retractable landing gear. I am in a little plane. I am in the most basic plane that you can... that they have invented. It's from the 60s, actually.
Oh, really?
My plane, the plane was built? Yep. It's an instructional plane, so it's from the 60s. There are, at minimum, 8 things I have to, you know, measure at all times.
Okay.
So, and that's aside from things before you measure, before you get on in the air, which is, you know, the fuel, which wing it's in, how's the weather, air traffic, yeah. if there's another plane coming, you know, things like that. And then I'm looking at the RPMs on the engine. I have to look at the altimeter. I have to make sure we're not, you know, we're in line with the horizon. I have to make sure, you know, if there's resistance coming from wind, I have to counteract it. It's a lot. So fear, you asked me what I learned about myself is that it jarred me. I was scared. Like, thank God I had her. I mean, she's talented, but I'm like, Joss, what's happening? So we hit turbulence, and I'm like, "What's that mean?" You know, she's like, "We're fine. We're just gonna counteract. You're gonna counteract the wind with the rudder." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then I was scared at first to even put like the RPMs up to 2,500. So I would like just pushing the throttle was scary, you know, because I'm in control of the power the plane is being fed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I'm over it. Now we're up there. I'm like, let's go higher. At first, I was scared to go above 3,000 feet. So I learned how to overcome fear in this crazy situation.
Yeah.
You know? And I realized, oh, if the engine cuts off, because she's already stalled it for me.
She has?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
You have to know.
Yeah, you got to know. Yeah.
We're in an aerodynamic object. We will glide to safety. We have a chance. And that just kind of like, I was like, oh, okay. But what I want to parallel aviation with, and I'm like a little baby pilot, so anybody who's a pilot, please don't laugh at me, is that there's a lot of crossover when it comes to real estate, and it's taking risk and being brave. So, like, real estate's not all, like, wearing a cardigan and, like, doing an open house and baking cookies. That's not the real estate I'm in. Clearly, I'm wearing a latex shirt. So, I'm a little bit different, okay?
You are different.
I'm a little bit different.
That's what I love.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
I'm a little bit different. So, you have to take risks with investment. If you never take the risk, you'll never get the reward. It's calculated.
Yeah.
Same thing's calculated in aviation. It's all calculated. Calculated risk leads you to a reward. And if you don't take the risk, you'll never progress. You'll never win. It's a lot of people are afraid.
Afraid of
success is on the other side of fear. Everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Preach.
Yes.
I love it. Yes. I totally agree.
But I tell myself every day.
I mean, it seems like you have, I love that you tell yourself that every day, that you continue to take these risks that you do fear, and then you overcome the fear, and then it's like, now what's the next risk I can take?
I'm like, now what? Yeah, I got like, to the point, the I've gotten to the point where, you know, you get so desensitized to fear that you're like, all right, what's the next thing? All right, maybe I'll feel alive if I go in a plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, that's the next thing. What's that? I want multi-engine. My goal.
Yeah, give us the big, scary vision. I
want
to hear it.
I want a jet. Like, I want, you know, a G2, and I want to fly it to wherever I want.
Are you
TBD? We'll see. We'll
looking
see
for passengers that you need in the jet.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're a little ways away. So get this. Once I finally
That's
get
fair.
Once I get my license, it'll take years until I can fly a private jet.
A year?
Years.
Oh, year. I was going to say a year was not that long. A couple years and you'll be flying around your own private jet.
Well, like those airline pilots, like Delta. It's 1,500 hours minimum.
1,500 hours. So that's a few years.
I only have 7. I've been doing this for 3 months. I have 7 hours of flight time right now.
So you only need 1,493 more.
Yeah. I mean, it's years. You know what I mean? And to get your private license, it's called a certificate. So get your private pilot certificate, it takes 40. And then that's just the requirement. Then your flight instructor has to certify you. So if you don't pass a written exam, and if you're not, you could do 40 hours, but if you're not good at it, you're getting back with your instructor, you know.
But that's almost even more impressive that it's not like, I think a lot of people are about instant gratification, and you're delayed gratification to the tune of years just for the opportunity and chance to have this vision come to life.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you see it so far in the future, and you're still able to stay motivated today, even though it may be 7 years down the road?
Because I've seen things that I have I have worked for in short increments of time that have bloomed. So if I like small goals,
yeah,
and then I'm
yeah.
like, okay, then I can do medium sized ones. The whole point is that I can see that there is an end,
yeah,
that there
yeah.
you do reach it eventually. Like I wanted my California license, and you know how difficult that was to get in the pandemic. First of all, California is archaic in the way that they do testing. I had to fly to Sacramento to take my exam. I couldn't take it online.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
It is arcade.
California. And then when I passed the exam, you have to register with the state. And then my paperwork, there was some clerical error. I would sit on the phone. I'd pay someone to sit on the phone for 2 hours to try to get a hold of the California Real Estate Commission. So I flew back out there and they were about to close. And I almost cried. I was like, dude, please just fix my paperwork. I flew here from Pittsburgh. And they were super nice. And they're like, okay. And then they fix it. I was there for a musical festival, but I killed two birds with one stone. Yeah, I was there for a music, whatever. So I did almost cry, though, because I was like, come on. It was like a year before I could get my license, and they give you this cute little, like, state of California license. So
that's all you get? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But you're persistent. Like, you keep going until you get it. Oh, I'm tenacious.
I will get what I want. If I want it, I will get it. There's nothing that you could do to stop me.
I mean, the look in your eyes, I think you're burning a hole right through me as you're saying that.
Yeah. You have to be that way because no one's going to do it for you. I've also learned that. I can't rely on anybody. You know, I love the people who love me back, but it's you. You got to do shit for yourself. Quit being lazy. Like if you, it must be nice. You know, that's so annoying.
Oh, like must
when
be nice.
When people are like, it must be nice that you can do this.
Oh, yeah.
Must be nice you can buy this. Must be nice that you can fly to Florida whenever you want. I did it.
Yeah.
I got up off my ass and no one's buying my tickets. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Nobody sees what you're doing when the cameras are not rolling.
Yeah.
You're working
It's a lot of thinking.
How do you get yourself to do something? This will be the last question. We'll wrap up. But how do you get yourself to do something maybe that you don't want to do, but you know you have to do?
Oh, it's worse.
And I think about this all the time. Like, it's hard. And I just wondered, is it the different risks that you've already taken, that you've overcome, so now there's not really any fear? Or what is it? Can you give somebody some insight on how you push through when you're like, I know I have to do this task.
Like what I hate doing.
Yeah.
I hate waking up early. I hate it. I'm just not genetically programmed to wake up early.
Not
but
yet.
I do it.
See if we can make Anna.
No, and I
person.
Accept that. I'm a night owl. I'll stay up for 24 hours straight, 36. But if you ask me to wake up at 7, I don't want to do it.
Wait,
I enjoy it. I woke up at 5:50 today.
I
didn't want to.
Oh, how did it go? How did 5:50 to 5:53 go?
It was annoying. So I had to put on a YouTube channel. And I have to listen to that to get myself out of it. And coffee,
we gotta
caffeine.
Get a cold plunge. We'll get you a cold plunge set up.
I do want to try that eventually.
It's going to happen.
But we're doing things because I understand what I want, and every day gets you closer or takes away from where you want to be. So I understand that. I guess I do see ahead. Maybe because I can't relate to people. It pisses me off sometimes when I talk to my friends who I love. And she knows exactly who I'm talking about. And I just don't get it. Why? She doesn't do incremental things to change her life. And I don't think of her when I'm, you know, making the decisions to do things that I don't want to do. But I'm like, oh, I got this opportunity. I need to get up because then I'm going to be late and people are going to bitch at me. And then I'm going to be behind and then I won't get what I want. So it really comes down to self-fulfillment. It really comes down to that. I'm not going to get what I want if I don't get out of this bed at 5:50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's going to end up being 5:45, then 5:30, then 5. Then you're going to be like,
there's no use. I mean, it's
shit,
real estate. Yeah, there's no use in real estate. I need my sleep.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally agree. I would never argue against that.
Yeah.
I just think you dropped a bomb there, though, when you said something about incremental change. So it seems like you do a really good job, and I need to get better at this, too, of there's a massive goal out there, but you know what you need to do today for 20 minutes to make that goal happen 2 years from now.
Yeah, it's very...
That's powerful.
The secret's in the nuance. It's very small because people, either they don't pay attention, they don't have the wherewithal or the awareness to notice or want to do it, but it's like, why am I doing these little extra things? Like, even if I'm doing like 5 minutes extra cardio, eventually it's going to turn to 10. Eventually you're going to gain endurance. Eventually, you know, it's just pushing yourself. And CrossFit really taught me that. If I'm being honest, I started 7 years ago, and that shit is hard. And I remember being like, oh, 900 push-ups. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh, I did it. Not 900, but it would be like 100. It'd be 100. Realistically, in a CrossFit workout, you would have to do 100 push-ups. And I would never think, in addition to, you know, 100 squats, in addition to, you know, what else, 100 sit-ups. And I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I was capable of doing that. So now I can get through it. I can do it again. And so like when I'm doing something that I hate, which is being cold, hungry, or tired, I'm like, wait, I did 300 reps one day, you know? And I know where my mind went. It taught me where to put my mind when I'm doing something that I don't want to do.
Mm.
So it is a disassociation. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
So when I'm up and I'm, you know, at 550, I'm a little bit in a fantasy world because I'm like, I don't want to be doing this right now.
But you do it.
I do it. I have to.
Yeah.
Have to.
I like that. There's just no excuses with you.
No. And no. And that's why I have no patience.
Well, I mean, I guess
I'm like, fair. I could do it. You could do it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's a good point. In leadership, if you're probably looking at some of your team and you're like, why don't you just
do it? I roll my eyes.
I'm sure. That's
They're
hard.
Like, the drive is a half hour. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, like complaining about
like to go get a lead or something. Yeah. They're like, well, it's a half hour away. I don't want to do that. I'm not driving 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, next topic.
Look at that look. That was the death stare.
Oh, it's like right they know there. My death. I'm like,
oh, you have a death stare.
I'll go do it. Okay, I'm 10 times busier than you, but I'll go do it. Okay?
Well, hopefully hearing that, they jump up and go,
gone. Okay, yeah. No, it's doable. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know? But they can, it's all commission-based, so they can do whatever they
want. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. I was like, but I'm not going to lose out on money. So let me do it.
You can get the commission.
Yeah. I'll go run and do it right now.
I love it. I love the no excuses mentality and you taking action. Even when you don't want to do something, like getting up at 5:50 in the morning.
I'm sleeping in tomorrow until, oh wait, no, I have a flight tomorrow at 7:30.
next time we record a podcast, it may be in a cold plunge. Like we'll each be in separate cold plunges and we're going to record a podcast for 10
minutes. Oh, you're going to get a different attitude, that's for sure. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's good. We'll get totally different content. It's going to work out great.
Oh, yeah. You'll get different answers. That's for sure. Yeah.
How do people, I know how to find you online, but how do people find you to reach out or when the course is going to be ready? And we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah. So I have my website, which is annadefrank.com. What else? I have my Instagram, annadefrank_realtor. My personal, Anna Def. On Instagram, Facebook, Anna Marie DeFrank, LinkedIn, same
Most
thing.
Most active on...
Probably on Insta.
Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I try to stop because it's just mindless. Yeah, I try not to do that as
Unless
much.
It's a lead of some sort.
Yeah, I don't get many of those in my personal anymore, but if I get notifications if it's on my business. But yes, reach out to me. Email me, annamariedefrank@gmail.com, please.
Okay, we'll put that on there because we want to make sure people are ready when the course comes out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, go and get it.
We'll promote that. I'll promote that on my social media as well to make sure we push it out there.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And thanks for joining. This is so fun.
Thank you. This is fantastic.
This is the first face-to-face podcast, I think this is right to say, that I've done.
Really?
And I love the energy. Like, it's just... It's more personable.
Yes, you got to do more of that. That's why I did. You asked me, like, if you asked the choice if I wanted to do Zoom or in person.
Yeah.
You get way better.
You're right.
I could be more energetic
in
person. So
as long as we don't break this green screen.
Yeah,
this will be fine. Well, thanks for joining. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening and watching the Average to Savage podcast. And we'll see you all next week.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment if you enjoyed the show. To follow on social media, @MattScaletti on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and LinkedIn. Feel free to shoot me a message, reach out. I'd love to hear feedback and wishing you an amazing rest of your week.